in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
It is one of those details that every single Packers fan is aware of by now. The fact that the Green Bay Packers haven't taken a wide receiver since Javon Walker. And if you're sick of hearing about Javon Walker, this may be the year you get some reprieve. Because the Green Bay Packers may actually take a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft. Why, you say? Why, when Brian Gutekunst has not prioritized that position in the draft? Why, when he has felt like he can get top-tier talent later on? Well, because it hasn't worked. Like, recently anyway, the talent that they have accumulated has not been good enough to carry that unit. Now, some of it is injuries, and we could sit here and debate about Christian Watson and whether or not him being on the field healthy since the moment he was drafted would make a difference in how productive that unit has been. But now they're not going to have Christian Watson. So this, to me, guys, feels like the urgency that Brian Gutekunst has been preaching, and we have been joking that everybody else is responsible for upholding the urgency, bringing in these guys, Golden and now Emeka Ogbuka, who apparently is in Green Bay as we speak, yesterday and today. This, to me, says he recognizes the urgency at the wide receiver position, Gabe.
Yeah, I was going through the list last year of different players that the Packers brought in for draft visits. Not a single wide receiver on them. And Goody likes to bring in guys and get a closer look. Of the 21 names that I found from a year ago, it did include three draft picks. Tyron Hopper, it included Edgerrin Cooper, and Ketan Oladapo. So three of the picks that they eventually made came in for visits, and they did not have a single wide receiver last year. So I think the fact that they're, for lack of a better term, spamming that position right now, they're certainly interested in adding early in the draft.
Yeah, but Gabe, how many offensive linemen were on the list of visits last year? Because obviously they eventually took Morgan in the first round. See, because I'm kind of smelling a smoke show here.
But that's not really what Goody does.
Well, how many old linemen were, do you know?
Give me a second. I was not okay. So I've got one. I mean,
I think a couple of those guys, Ogbuka and the kid out of Texas, very well may be gone. So the only way they're going to grab them is to trade up.
That's not necessarily true, though.
Yeah, but the safest, you don't think so?
No, I mean Mel Kiper just mocked Ogbuka in the second round.
It never works out. It never works out. There's always guys that fall. There's always guys that get drafted earlier before they thought. And the receiver position has become so important now in the NFL that, with the lack of quarterbacks going early, I think a lot of these guys just may be gone. You know? So.
May be gone before the Packers pick at 23?
Yes.
Well, they all can't be. And I mean, that would be a hell of a run on wide receivers.
But the kid out of Missouri, don't they believe he could fall to the second round?
Burton's probably late second, or excuse me, late first, early second, depending upon how the wide receivers go.
And the one thing about Goody, he's kind of nailed the second round when it comes to receivers, right? Him kind of and Ted?
Well, more Ted.
More Ted.
Because the only second round pick that Goody's used on a wide receiver is Jaden Reed.
So Chewy,
and Christian Watson.
Chewy, let me give you a breakdown of the guys they have brought in thus far this season. There are three offensive linemen. Josh Simmons is the latest, the kid from Ohio State. But Gabe, you were saying that there's some injury issue with him?
So
he's dealing with something?
They initially thought he tore his ACL. He did not. He ended up tearing his patella tendon, which actually is worse because it's not as like a clean ACL break, while it takes time to recover from. It's a simple solution. You just have your reconstructive surgery and you go on from there. The patella tendon is a little more complicated. So there would be a chance that Josh Simmons, who before the injury was looked at as one of the potentially top offensive linemen, especially tackles in this draft, he may have to sit out that first year as he recovers from his patella tendon injury.
This is what I mentioned yesterday when I said they bring in guys they want or guys they want clearer medical issues
to get a look at.
So right. Yeah. So they'll get a closer look and determine, because some teams will have different opinions on the medical diagnosis of these guys and how soon they can play again or how long it may affect them. If for whatever reason the Packers deem him as like a positive, and not a big issue, they would feel more comfortable drafting him where some people will either take him off the board or drop him way down.
So three offensive linemen, two defensive line slash edge guys. James Pierce, we had talked about Tennessee. He gets a lot of attention, but I think there might be some red flags surrounding James
Personality
Pierce.
Stuff.
Yeah, and then Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. The wide receivers on the list, there are three. Emeka Ibuka, Isaiah Bond from Texas, who we talked about, and we talked about Matthew Golden from Texas as well. And then they have one cornerback on this list so far, Siobhan Revel. I'm not familiar with him, but he's from East Carolina.
Yeah.
So, Chu, given the way that they have distributed some of those workouts, three offensive linemen, two defensive line edge, and three wide receivers, and to Gabe's point, last year, goose egg wide receivers that were brought in, that's what is leading to this idea of, hey, if you have been of the belief that this isn't going to happen, it just doesn't happen, it's just not Goody's nature to draft a wide receiver in the first round, because frankly, he has not. This may be the year he changes his tune. This may be the year that they have to prioritize that position because of what they have. And Gabe, you made an excellent point about backfill. You always talk about backfilling at this position. Explain to me why you think that even elevates this position more.
So you have no idea what you're going to do with Christian Watson. You have no idea what the health of Christian Watson is going to be at the end of the season. He's going to be free agent. We talked earlier in the show with Jason about what are you going to do with Romeo Doubs? He's got 1 year left on his deal. Do you really want to bring him back? Are you going to have that question of, is he going to quit on us again the way he did in the middle of last season? So I think those are two guys that if I had to predict right now, I would say neither are going to be a member of the Green Bay Packers next year. So now you're stuck with the two guys that you drafted. So now you got to continue to backfill that position. You got to have somebody who's ready to go with Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed. You have to take a wide receiver early so that he's ready to step in for when those guys potentially leave in next offseason.
Yeah, but you also have to backfill the defensive line because there's a chance Rashawn Gary, if he has another stellar 5-sack season, he's gone. Lucas Van Ness, they may determine this guy can't play in the NFL. And then Kenny Clark, if he has another year like last, he's gone.
I'm guessing not all of them will be, though, Chu, because it becomes just a sheer numbers game. Like, you just need to have bodies at that position.
I like the fact that it seems to me that Goody's finally admitting it, that, like, this whole thing about we don't need a wide receiver one. Well, you know what? Yeah, you kind of.
Well, but what's interesting, Chu, is that when he was asked about it at the owner's meeting, he said, we like what we have. Like, that was the company line of, we like the guys we have. We think we can get it done with the guys we have. And it feels like his actions maybe aren't matching those words.
Well, that's CYA. No. You just got to cover your ass in that situation. Yeah, you just got to have, in case, because again, maybe you really like Matthew Golden. Maybe you like Emeka Ibuka. Maybe you like Tech McMillan. But if those guys, like Chewy said, are gone before you pick at 23 and you're not willing to trade up, then you still have to be like, yeah, we really like what we have, right? You just have to cover your ass in case you can't add what you want to that room.
All right, so I want to do one of those things, too, like they do when you pass a bathroom or when you get an airplane survey. On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being very dissatisfied, 5 being very satisfied, what would you rate the Packers taking a wide receiver in the first round? Let's say they do it. Let's say they get up on stage in Green Bay at the end of the month and they say, with the 23rd pick, the Packers select wide receiver blah, 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 from blah, 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 blah. How would you feel about that? 1 to 5.
1 being good. Or 5 being
good. 1 being very dissatisfied.
Okay, 5. 5. As long as they get their guy, I don't want them reaching for someone, you know? I don't want them reaching, and if the guy's a 2, but you feel you need to, like Gabe said, backfill that position, don't reach, right? If you're in love, because there's guys they fall in love with, right? There's guys in the first round that Goody fall. It just, it depends on how the board plays out.
Yeah, and I think
they love a guy that he believes he has no chance at getting, and he may be, I don't know, a corner, right? And he's like, I can't believe this guy fell to us. So he'll take a corner. If Ibuka falls, or if that's where he's slated to go, or whoever he loves at that position, he will go with that player. But you run the risk of, you know, this whole draft, best player available, is the biggest crock of you-know-what.
Oh, of course it is, Chu.
And they try to sell it. It's like, enough already. Enough. You backfill positions, what that'll get you over the top.
Well, and you can make the argument that Howie Roseman with the Philadelphia Eagles drafts for need. This is an area, this is a unit that we need to upgrade and then throwing picks at that. But I'm saying from a national championship, college basketball, Super Bowl, from a Super Bowl standpoint, they are the defending champs. And if you look at the way I think he has drafted over the last few years, it has been more of, we need this position, cornerback. Let's throw a couple of cornerbacks at it, right? We're not going to get distracted by, oh, there's a really good X on the list right now. Joshy, I want your 1 through 5. How satisfied would you be? Extremely dissatisfied, extremely satisfied?
3.5, 4. I do think there's bigger needs and more glaring issues. And I do, what Gabe's talked about many times, do agree that an edge rusher and a difference maker at that position, those guys typically don't come anywhere other than the first round. So if your guy's there, take him. I'm seeing what I keep, and this is obviously very early in the process, what I feel like is the Packers are looking at the edge rushers they deem as true first rounders, top 15 style guys. And if those guys aren't there, they're then looking at the back end of the wide receivers in that first round area. So if they trade back because they don't have the edge they want there, they'll go, hey, we'll be happy with Abuka. We'll be happy with Isaiah Bond or Matthew Golden, depending on how the board falls. To me, that seems like what they're setting us up for. Because
I don't think so, Joshy.
Well, yeah, but you don't think so a lot of things.
I think if they draft a rush end, he's essentially saying that Lucas Van Ness cannot play in this league, which I don't think he's ready to do yet.
I think, but if Shamar Stewart
thing.
If Shamar Stewart falls there too, I've seen Michael Williams, who came in for a draft visit out of Georgia, which again, defensive player out of Georgia.
Keep going, Goody, back, baby.
I mean, just probably go back to that well. Like if one of those guys falls to 23, I think he takes him just because again, to get those athletic traits, it's hard to get those athletic traits that so often translate to pass rushing success.
Well, and you keep talking about superstars, Gabe. It's one of your core tenets right now of this offseason. You got to upgrade at the superstars. And so what would your satisfaction level be if the Packers did take a wide receiver? Again, this is based on the fact that they have brought several in now for these workouts. They want to get an up-close look at it. Man, look, I don't drive through a car dealership if I'm not interested in buying a car. You know, I don't sit there and take time out of my day to go to a car dealership, drive around the lot, talk to a salesperson unless I'm interested in buying a car. I don't think this is a smokescreen. I don't think they're pretending to be interested in a first-round wide receiver. It still may not happen. To Chewy's point, you never know how the board is going to fall, but there seems to be genuine interest in upgrading that position. Would you be satisfied or dissatisfied?
I would be satisfied. Josh, I mean, 4.5. Again, especially if guys like Shamar Stewart, Michael Williams are off the board.
Josh, do you think DN's more pressing than receiver?
I say yes.
I think so in a way, yes, because I think Lucas Van Ness flat can't play, and I think Rashawn Gary is on a downward trajectory. I don't know if Brian Gutekunst agrees with me, but knowing those two things, I would say yes. You are, without those guys in your future plans, you are at a bigger disadvantage with what you have position.
I just think offensively, you always have the opportunity to outscore the other team. And this offense, I believe right now, cannot outscore another team. I mean, they can outscore crap, but they can't outscore the top echelon teams in the league. That's all I'm saying.
But also, I mean, while I like this crop of wide receivers, Chu, like, I don't think there's anybody who's just hitting me over the head obvious is going to be that number one, this is the guy you can outscore with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Abuka's good. I think Golden's good. But I don't see that. You know, the way that when, and again, if they were this good, they'd be talked about as potentially top 10 guys, which only Tet McMillan is. But I don't see, Jamar Chase, just plug and play. He's going to be tremendous. He's going to be fantastic. I don't necessarily see that. And that's why I'd be open to a pass rusher if they fall.
800-990-3776. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as well. Joshy and I will figure out how to format 5 options down to 4 spots on a poll. But I'd be curious about your satisfaction level if the Packers did take a wide receiver with that first round pick. Again, maybe they move up, maybe they move down, but in the first round, if they walked away with a wide receiver, one of the guys that we have mentioned, I can't imagine it's somebody else. This is really the cast of characters.
There's names I want to throw out there that I think people need to pay attention to, especially in the late first round. Mainly Jaden Higgins.
He is the kid from Iowa State.
Yes, he's a rare combination of size, speed, and production. It's just smaller school. People are not as sold on him. That's one that you keep seeing pop up in the late first round. He may very well be a second rounder, but I could see a team falling in love with that combination of size, speed, and production where everyone goes, huh, I didn't think that would be a first round pick, but here we are. Because the more we keep looking at it, as Gabe said, this isn't that great of a class. There's not really a far and away leader, two leaders. There's no Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas Jr. Those guys aren't there.
It feels like there's a lot of guys in that tier right behind us.
A lot of second-tier guys who some may jump up and perform quite well, but there's no dominators. There's no Justin Jefferson.
Lead you to believe that they're going to take a player in the second round?
That's why I think, they might trade back if they don't have what they want there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so you guys started the segment on opposite ends, and now you're both together on they could trade back.
Well, if you're saying there's no dominant receiver.
Yeah. I mean, the closest thing
good,
is probably
but
Tet.
Not great. You know?
You can squint your eyes and see in Tet that, but people have questions on it.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to get to power rankings with Chew. As always,
dominant.
I am.
Oh, boy.
Dominant.
Anxious.
Are you pre-calling a domination?
I mean,
he's like Babe Ruth in the box.
He's calling.
I believe you called
shot.
My list great last week. That's how I remember.
It was a great list. I actually liked it. It was actually quite good.
It's one for one.
I must have memory hold that.
The fact that we remember it means it's the exception to the rule. I think you should keep that in mind. What do they always say? You should under
promise, over deliver.
There it is. Boom. Go. Thank you, Joshy.
Jen was about to go the other way.
I was workshopping it. I wasn't sure how it went. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
Stop in and save at Festival Foods. Scream at Sicilian Tavern style pizza. Just $5.99 this week at your local Festival Foods. If you're unfamiliar with Scream at Sicilian Tavern style pizzas, well, you need to introduce yourself quickly because it's all the things that you are accustomed to when it comes to Scream at Sicilian. The great sauce, mountain of cheese, tasty toppings, but on a thin, crispy, cracker-style crust. It's exactly what you're looking for when you think that tavern-style pizza. Scream at Sicilian has knocked it out of the park once again. You can get it for just $5.99 right now at your local Festival Foods. So stop into your local Festival Foods, pick up that Scream at Sicilian tavern-style pizza for just $5.99 and find out what all the screaming is about.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
Better than cold.
Cold
you
can be good too.
Yeah, well, no,
cold
shrinkage
can
gets
be
involved.
Good.
It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with all of our home projects. My husband and I, not the most handy people, and when we come across a project that we simply cannot handle, we call our friends at PCI to help us out. Whether it's a remodeling project, a home addition, or you're thinking about building a new home, the PCI team can be here for you. Look, they believe in building relationships. It is very important to them, but also doing exceptional work on your projects like they did for us with our balcony off of our bathroom and, of course, our basement remodel, giving us the space we so desperately needed for our family. PCI has been in the business for more than 20 years, so you know you can count on them. Learn more at PCI and see their work at professionalconstructioninc.com.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, little draft-related power rankings today. All I want from you guys is, and this goes back to 2005, give me the last 10 Badger players drafted in the first round.
So I didn't want to interrupt him when he was telling me about this list, but It feels like he confused top 8 at 8 with power rankings today.
That's fine. They kind of go hand in hand.
Still a good list.
Crapping on my list right out of the gate.
It's supposed to be like your rankings of things. Do you want to rank these players based on their...
No, this is how I would
get... Yeah.
That's way too much work. Okay. No, this is great list. Very good. You guys, I will give you 12 guesses to get... Should I feel generous, Joshy? 8, 9?
Let's do 8.
You know you sound like the president 8. Right now. This is a very good list. It's a great list. I made this list. It's a good list.
I got this list from China, you know? All right.
Was that the blammer?
I was about to say, I don't think that was Trump. That was more the blammer.
Maybe the blammer is the president to choose. Which? Did you ever think about that?
He's my president. Bad body, though. Woo. Just gets worse with age. Saw him with his shirt off the other day. You know some mental pictures you just can't get out of your head?
Look, you always send us the picture that you have of shirtless Blammer. You send it way too often.
It's a great picture. You still won't post it, Josh.
I'll never do that. We'll get pulled off all social media.
He's got an auto pen. He won't even know. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Start it up.
I got Jonathan Taylor on that list. Wait. No.
He was a second round pick.
Oh, man. First round
only? If this was Thursday, you'd be out.
What?
Go back and look at who got drafted above Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Silly
stuff. It's funny. J.J. Watt is on this list.
J.J. Watt was the first round 11th pick. Very good. Number 7.
TJ's
got to
be on the list as well.
Correct.
TJ was first round 30th pick. Right. He is number 2.
So this is since 2005?
This is since 2005. Correct.
So Joe Thomas was after 2005. So Joe Thomas has got to be on this list.
Joe Thomas, first round 3rd pick. He is number 8.
That's a good guess. My guess, because now it's going to get a little dicey for me. Wisconsin Badgers first round. Woof. There's got to be maybe some other running backs. I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is a layup.
What do you mean this is a layup?
Do you want me to throw one of those running back names out there that I think went in the first round?
Yeah.
Was Anthony Davis a first-round pick?
That would be incorrect, Gabe.
Mm.
Okay. But I was thinking more of a Melvin Gordon, but I don't know if he was first-round. Melvin Gordon, first-round.
Melvin Gordon, first-round, 15th pick.
Huh.
He is number 3. Think O-lineman.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, that's kind of at the point we're at. It's got to be a lot of offensive linemen, but I know a lot of those guys.
All-pro center. Retired early.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm blanking on the name. Just aside from the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
God, well, I can't remember his name.
Well, maybe pivot off of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Biotish wasn't a first-round pick, I don't think, because even though he had a lot of success. I'm just thinking about the guys who have had success.
Well, what about the guy from the Eagles? Was he a first-rounder? Zach Bond, would he have been a first-rounder?
No.
Okay, all right, I'm just throwing out some names. What about Ramchek from the Saints? Was he a first-rounder?
Yeah, he might have been. Ryan Ramchek.
Ryan Ramchek.
32nd pick in the first round. He is 2017.
Skin of the teeth. Number 1. Skin of the teeth.
He's number 1. You got 4. You only got 4 left.
The one that goes back to 2005 is an all-time name.
Oh, gosh. No, I can't. Okay. I'm going to be mad when I hear that name. I'm going to be mad. I'm not going to be able to come up with it.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm not going to be able to come up with it. God, who else went in the first round for Wisconsin? I might be out of names here.
You've got Cowboys, you've got Cincinnati, you've got Minnesota, and you've got Miami.
Can you
reset the list?
So what do we got on the list?
The Minnesota's this really good name.
One Ramchek, two TJ, three Melvin. You don't have four, you don't have five, you don't have six. And then J.J. Watt, Joe Thomas.
I believe it's all offensive linemen and one D end.
Well, the D
terrible in the NFL.
The D end, is the Minnesota guy.
Yes,
yeah. I know all the details except for his name.
A name I've only heard once in my life.
That's it.
Wait. Okay, Cowboys was Travis Frederick.
Travis Frederick, first round, 31st pick to the Cowboys.
Mm. All right, I might be out now.
And what's-his-face wasn't first round, right? Alvarez's grandson?
No.
No, he was not.
No.
One kid played at Wisconsin Lutheran game. He used to do high school games.
Ooh, maybe that helps. Nope, doesn't.
Nope.
Bengals longtime guard.
Drawing a blank.
Cleveland. Yes.
Shares a name with the kid from Home Alone.
Kevin Zeitler?
Kevin Zeitler. You're not getting credit for that, Josh.
You actually share a first name with this other tackle.
First
Chewy?
Round 22nd
Gabe.
Pick.
Gabe Badgers Gabe.
Gabe Karimi.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Gabe Karimi, first pick. Where did he go, Josh?
I thought it was Karimi, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
Minnesota and Miami.
No idea.
Who's
the
Minnesota guy? All right. Who's
Erasmus James.
Erasmus James. He was really? So sweet.
0% chance I was going to get
I knew I was going to. Yeah, I wasn't going to get the name, and I was going to be pissed when
Weren't
I heard
Weren't they hoping for this last kid to go to the Packers? Joshy, my memory serves me
Which
correct.
Kid?
Receiver.
Oh, Lee Evans?
Lee Evans. Yeah.
Yes.
That was disappointing on your guys' part. I would have got all of them.
I don't think you would have. No. You said Gabe Karini.
There's no chance.
And you're reading the list.
Great list. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as last week. What was last week? It was good, though.
Just remember we had fun doing it. That's all I remember.
It was not as fun. That's all right. Should there have been more Badgers picked recently? I mean...
The glaring one is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, the fact that JT went in the second round and then instantly had the success that he did. But again, it's running back, so.
Wasn't that the year that Clyde Edwards-Helaire went over him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's what? We're going on 8 years since a first-round pick because they won't have one this year. That's not good.
That's correct.
Keep getting us your three bucket list sporting events in honor of the Masters. 800-990-3776. There is no money is not an option. Time off is not an option. What are the three bucket list items that you would like to do before your time is through? Ryan from Iguanago weighing in saying Ryder Cup, Summer Spam. I don't know what, I think that's Summer Slam. I think that's that's a typo. Summer Spam. What would that even entail, Summer
Spam? Are you a Spam guy?
Or Spam on the open fire. That'd be delicious.
No, Spam is not delicious.
Oh, it doesn't feel like an open fire type of food. It feels like frying pan.
Throw it on a steak, roast it over an open flame. Josh, you got to live a little.
Daytona 500. None of them are my favorite sports, says Ryan, but they are all a good time. And your criteria can be whatever. Maybe it's a good time. Maybe it's a vibe. And the experience. Maybe it is I want to see my teams in the championship game. Keep getting us your bucket list for sports this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
Hey, ESPN Milwaukee listeners. Josh DiMaggio here for Wanna Parlay. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it is so much fun. You can compete against me and other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners to see you can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. The tournament might be over, but that doesn't mean the contests are over. You can look at some of the games the Brewers got going against the Colorado Rockies today. Maybe pick a home run pick if you'd like to. It's just $2 for taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple. It's only $2 to enter. And plus, there are always free to play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. That's code JGC. Use that code and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon saying you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
With the college basketball season just ending, it reminds me of a story Gabe was telling me. Gabe, what is this deal with this dude who wants more eligibility? He played one level, now another level. How is this shaking out?
So, again, the NCAA fighting off lawsuits left and right coming from all over the place. But Antti Brzovic is a kid who played at the College of Charleston the last three seasons. And that's a Division I school, and he was looking to potentially transfer, wanted to go into the transfer portal. The only problem is, Jen, he began his college career at Division II school. So he spent his first year, freshman year, Division II, played the last 3 years at the College of Charleston, and he is now suing the NCAA, saying that his Division II years shouldn't count towards his eligibility, and is suing for $1 million because that is what he is claiming he would be making if he was able to transfer and play this season.
Why? Why shouldn't it count?
Because it's Division II. It's not D1. They don't have the big bucks down in D2.
Well, you probably sucked 4 years ago, and well, that's why you were in Division II.
I'm going to sue my parents for not having me be born 2 years after I was born, when NIL, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? We can't just sliding doors this sucker. Like, these are the rules as they stand right now. It's unfortunate that you missed out. You know, we always joke about, like our guy Steve Novak, right? Our guy Steve Novak was a sharp shooter, right? Mm-hmm. Could hit the three with the best of them in the NBA. But the league didn't start hitting threes at this astronomical clip until Steve Novak was well out of the league. You think Steve Novak has a shot to be like, NBA, NBA, I got a grief with you. I got a beef with you. Y'all didn't evolve to the point where we're taking all these threes, and now I'm out of the league. If it had been what it is now when I was there, just imagine how valuable I would be, how much money I would. You can't just change that stuff. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
I mean, if lower level doesn't count, I got all sorts of eligibility. Yeah. Chew, you want to start coaching me up? Get me back in the weight room? I don't know what we're going to go for, but, you know,
what
hey.
What would you choose? Would you go golf or would you go baseball?
I mean, probably golf. I feel like I'm too old for just about anything else right now.
I feel like you could crush at the college golf level,
you know,
right?
Like lower Division II, lower Division I.
Well,
you know, we got some speed.
Who was the NBA player that actually went back?
J.R. Smith.
Golf?
J.R. Smith did that.
How did he get eligibility to do that?
Because
he
went
X amount of years.
He went straight from high school. He went straight from high school. So he didn't play anything in college. So he had all of his college eligibility left.
Wow. That's a good story.
Yeah, he's had some success. It has been. He's been working to get his degree, playing college golf at a lower level Division I school. But it's been, that's certainly a cool story. But yeah, at this point, Chu, I don't think I could. I don't want to put my body through
anything
football
other.
Or anything else. I think I could handle golf, but I'd still, we got to hit the weight room a little bit, get a little bit of that athleticism, a little more speed in the golf swing.
We could do it.
But if my Division III years aren't going to end up counting, if this lawsuit ends up working, hell yeah.
Josh,
sign
you've
me
got
up.
4 years, don't you?
Is this guy good enough where he literally could get, are there programs out there that are saying, yes, if granted another year of eligibility, we will give him $1 million, Dr. Evil, to be on our roster? Or is this just some arbitrary hypothetical number he's throwing out there?
I'm guessing he would, if this were to actually go to court and not get thrown out, which, let's be honest, it should be thrown out. if he actually has to go to court, I'm guessing he would have to prove that, wouldn't he? In order to be like, hey, monetarily, this is what I could get. He averaged 18 points per game last year for the Charleston Cougars.
Yeah. Jen, let me ask you a question, because when we were at Ohio State, they were having, I think, the Sweet 16 there, and we met parents of a male cheerleader who was on scholarship. Is there eligibility when it comes to cheerleading?
Oh, yeah. It's a Division I sport.
So you only get four. You only get 4 years of eligibility. It's the same.
Well,
has that always been
like
that?
You can redshirt and then get that, you know, it's like an end the COVID year. I'm assuming those rules would apply to all athletes. And if that's what Ohio State has them distinguished as, at Marquette, we were not. At Marquette, we were a club. We were not considered Division I athletes. We didn't count towards Title IX or anything like that. Like, it was so we couldn't get scholarships at Marquette for cheerleading. But many, many schools, even when I was there 20 years ago, gave scholarships. Kentucky was the most famous of them. They won national championships.
I was about to say, because they probably
out.
Participated in competitions,
yes,
right? So that's what would distinguish them.
They were all scholarship athletes.
There seems to be a crossroads here that we're approaching of college sports no longer being college sports and it just being professional sports.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's what people are trying to push for, especially those guys who don't view themselves as having a career in professional sports. They're trying to ride out the... So it's no longer just the 4 years of eligibility. You go to school, you compete there, and then you move on. They're trying to make this like its own league where the teams aren't owned by owners. It is just run through now universities. That seems to be the push that's happening here. And I don't know what legal ground I stand on, but just get a job. Move on. That's where I stand.
Why don't you get a job?
Right. Just
Peter
be
Pan,
an adult.
Count Chocula. Like, that's where we are at this
point.
Like,
this is... We're paying players now. We're changing the aspects of it. There's rev sharing that's going to be happening. All that's well and fine, and all that's well and just, as it should be, because there is somebody making money on their backs. We don't want this to be a minor leagues. That's not exactly what this is for. This is its own thing, and trying to make it a professionalized sport to the degree that is being attempted, I think kind of ruins everything that we like about college sports.
Well, and just to nuance our way through that, though, you don't have an issue with that kid from Miami, Cam McCormick, who I did the feature on for Game Day earlier this year, last year, I suppose, who had 9 years of eligibility because he had four medical redshirt years, right? Like, are you one of those people who were like, grow up, get a job, or... Is his different because those were injuries?
Back in my day,
you're going to school that long. You better be getting something else medical if you're going to school that long.
Because now there's gray shirt.
Correct.
Now there's gray shirt, there's red shirt, there's blue shirt. I mean, come on. Like, I'm with Joshy. Go get a job.
I think it should be age limited. If you're over 24 years old, sorry, you can't do this.
I agree.
BYU. I don't care about the punter from Australia who comes over and he's 28 years old on a college campus. What are you doing?
Is that
here?
Chris
really?
Winkie who
that
played?
That bothers you, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it matters when you're competing against, especially if they're people who are...
Not as a punter.
Okay. Is it only punters who do it? Because didn't you do... There's been stories on guys who like end up playing other positions because they're foreign. Like, you're competing against 18-year-olds. You're a full-grown man.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, to your point of, like, trying to go back in time, Chris Jenkins is trying to sue the NCAA because he didn't make enough money. He was limited in what he could make during his career at Villanova, and he's pissed off because he watches March Madness, and his shot gets played over and over again. He's the guy who hit the game-winning shot a number of years ago for Villanova. So people are attempting to try to go back in time and dip into what NIL is now.
Yeah, and again, I feel really bad about that, right? Like, wasn't there a whole thing here in Wisconsin when they changed the legal drinking age from 18 to 21. Mm-hmm. There was a whole group of people who were like, "What? No. They got to drink when they were 18. How come I have to wait?" And it's like, them's the breaks. I don't know how else to explain it any other way, you know? Gets in here and go, "Well, you've been grandfathered in."
Well, they grandfathered like the 19 and 20-year-olds in, but obviously if you were 17, SOL, kid, you got to wait 4 more years till you're 21.
I've heard my father recount the story of how he barely missed the cutoff my whole entire life.
I missed it.
glad to see he got over it. He's no longer bitter about it.
I missed it in Massachusetts. I missed it in Massachusetts, but Vermont was after Massachusetts. So it was legal for us, and I was 20 minutes from Vermont, to go drink in Vermont, but we couldn't drink in Mass.
Yeah, how'd you get home? Great.
Uber.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Pulled up his phone and ordered an Uber, Jen, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. I really hope that the courts do the right thing here and just throw these things out. I really hope that they just set a precedent of, hey, you know, I wish it were different. It's unfortunate, but somebody has to be the cutoff. You know, and there's going to be a whole slew of athletes right now as the sports continue to evolve, as the NCAA, NIL, transfer portal, all of those things continue to evolve. There's going to be a chunk of athletes who are caught in the middle in that sweet spot of, but it should have been me, right? But it wasn't. And again, I don't know how else to say it except it sucks. I'm sorry. But we can't sit here and litigate each scenario as to how unfair it is that you were born when you were born.
There's a level here of it comes off as people think they deserve the ability to play college sports and the ability to be there as long as they want. And I don't think that's the idea of what we're doing here. Like, there is merit to being able to play and there is requirements to being able to play. So just expand it to, well, D3 and D2 don't count. What does that even mean? what are you trying to? What is the core of that argument?
Because even at D2, you can still get a scholarship. Like, you're still getting something in return, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. Yes. So what now? D2 and D3 are basically club sports.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean? What are you trying to prove? It doesn't really make like any logical sense.
It also reminds me of that whole student loan argument that we saw a few years back, where they were like, "Oh, we're going to dissolve student loans," and people were like, "No, no, no! I had to pay student loans; they should have to pay student loans again." Like, all of this stuff is, things are going to change. Times evolve. The rules are not the same from generation to generation. And again, I'm sorry if you were right there on the cusp. And I agree with these athletes in the fact that they likely would have earned money for their services if they had been born a smidge later, you know? Mm-hmm. But you want to get into that? You also wouldn't be here. Be a whole nother human. Be a whole nother person if you were born 2 years later.
I think GKB is paying higher, you know, part-time wages than when I first started. Should I hit up Craig on Friday, see if I can get some back pay?
Drop a lawsuit.
That's what Chris Jenkins is doing. That's how ridiculous that sounds.
Yeah, why can't I go back and pay $90,000 for a house? What the hell's the deal there? Why can't I reverse to when interest rates were lower? What the hell? That's not fair.
He got a 3% rate. I'm sitting over here at 7. Going to need to talk to a lawyer.
It's not fair.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Roll On right after this.
ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is coming to Green Bay April 23rd, which is the day before the draft. Field Yates, Daniel Dott, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are doing a live show at the Tundra Trio, and we want to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Caller 3 right now. Caller number 3 wins 2 tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Live at the Tundra Trio, see the show up close, meet all of the hosts, and get complimentary food and drinks and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merch. Caller 3 right now, 800-990-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContests.com for official contest details.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate the Arts Hotel introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. Man, so many bucket list items coming in here. Kentucky Derby, Belmont Stakes, Preakness, that from Clinton.
Triple Crown.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yep.
Just wants to see all three of them.
And we are out of time. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.